Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity as we continue to worship you, to hear from you, to hear your voice. And Lord, that you would strengthen us, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us all days of our lives. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Do you know what an aha moment is? People might use the term like Eureka. Some would say that these are moments of clarity or understanding. Others might say it when they get the point. Eureka, I found it. The light goes on. I get it now. When reading God's Word, there are moments like these when I come to the understanding of what God is trying to say. These are moments when the Holy Spirit leads you to a proper or deeper understanding of the text. When I begin to understand God better, and as a result, appreciate God more or love God deeper. I hope you experience these aha moments often. One of these moments came to me when God spoke to Moses and told him who God was. It is repeated in various ways, in 9 times throughout the Old Testament. And in this instance, it's right before they get to the promised land, which God had promised to bring them to. Read it with me.
Sure.
Maybe not.
Yep.
The Lord is slow to anger, about being involved and forgiving sin and rebellion. The first time God spoke these words to Moses of his character, God said it this way at Mount Sinai. It happens in Exodus 34. Listen to these words. And as he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Are these not great words to hear? Abounding in love, compassion, graciousness, faithful, forgiving, slow to anger. You've got to love those words, because that's who God says he is. And when I hear these words, I think of Jesus saving us by his willingness to pay the price for our disobedience to God. I think of Jesus and how he extended it to reach out to those that we find unlovable. People like you. Slow to anger, abounding in love, compassionate and gracious. Faithfully forgiving. When I look at the times when I have disobeyed God by my thoughts or actions, I recognize God is indeed slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. But these are important words to know about God. But if we're not careful to see God with intention, we can fall into this trap where we will deliberately sin, knowing that God is loving, slow to anger and forgiving, and that we can get away with whatever we want and still get ourselves back into proper relationship with God by asking for forgiveness. It's like that old adage. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for yet this is not the whole of this scripture, as it is equally clear in understanding that God is not just about love and forgiveness, although these are important. Read the rest of this verse with me. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Friends, God is not a cosmic pushover. When it comes to sin, when it comes to trusting God, when it comes to being obedient to God,
There will always be consequences to actions we take that go against God's will in our lives. Now, it's important that as we look back where we began the series called The Story, that first series called Establishing a Covenant, which is simply a promise between two people or two parties, to see how this love and punishment, this sort of anger and guilty are worked out in the fact of the Bible. You see, at the beginning of the story, there is creation, which is God's story. God created people to be in relationship with them, and we've also discovered that there's a lower story, our story, people's need for God, but people having a hard time remaining faithful. So in the other story, God made a covenant with Abraham, if you remember, and promised to give him and to his descendants, which would become a great nation, a promised land, a great land. And these descendants would become a great nation, and this nation would be an avenue in which God would reach out to all the other nations. Why? So that God could be in relationship with all people. In the lower story, we see it played out as God reaches out to selfish and flawed people who are willing to recognize God in their lives, to bring about the promise that God has made to them. What might you think would be one of those things that would cause God to be angry? As I dwell more on this idea, this thought, about the self-described character of God, slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin, and God, as I thought about that, I was grateful to know that God's love is consistent, and God's forgiveness is available, not only when I sin, but when I have been in rebellion against God or against His purposes for my life. And most people just want to leave it at this, that God is faithful. God is a God of love and forgiveness. Yet punishment is not off the table, as there are always consequences. Even for those who follow well, as we all fall short of the glory of God. For instance, you remember Moses and Aaron, God's leaders for this group of people, who led them. They were not allowed to enter into the promised land because of some disobedience in their life. And as I wrote on these things, I began to pick up on those little words that we read in Scripture about what it is that people really do, which causes God's anger, His ire to really come out. And in today's Scripture, we look at the Hebrew people as they begin traveling to their new home from Mount Sinai, the promised land. They are a prime example of God's willingness to be slow to anger, yet God had proposed to respond quickly to their sin. As I shared with the children earlier, God had provided for the Hebrews food in the form of all manna. After they had left Egypt, it was kind of a breath from heaven provided each day. Each day, fresh food from God's all manna. The rabble within began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat. He said that as though we were if only we had meat to eat, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. All those cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. The good old days, huh? We had a variety of food, and we were enslaved and forced into heavy labor of making bricks, and Pharaoh was trying to get the midwives to kill all the newborn babies, boys, so that the Hebrew people wouldn't know. Such short memories that people have. And in particular, the rabble. Now, to me, the rabble, these were people who seem to naturally sow seeds of discord whenever they were unhappy. They never seem satisfied. To me, these are the most dangerous people. Because not only do they seem rarely satisfied, the entrance to their tents about why me? Because of this God's anger and disturbance about himself. And he will get my deed in the form of prayer for a whole month. Oh, isn't that great? And it will cover the land around them 3 feet deep. As the Lord says, until it comes out of your nostrils and you know it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Is the reason for God's anger because they didn't have me? Is God's anger so simple to stir up? God is angry because they have rejected him. Who is among them? Rejecting God for even taking them out of Egypt to a land that will be flowing with milk and honey. For well over years since leaving Egypt, God had done amazing things in their sight. Yet they constantly complain. At least the rabble. Now, I don't know about you, but I think most people, yes, that's true, will whine. Don't ask me. Now, some of us do it only. Others of us, more than. When we become discontent about one thing or another, or often something that's even out of our control, we start whining about. And then we whine to God. You see, I remember when God was doing a good work in me and we were off to seminary, it was about the third year in, and I began to whine to God about this. It's too hard, God. There's not enough hours in the day. Do I have to work too? Can't you just grow us up a money tree in the backyard? I wonder if God saw me as rejecting his work in me. I hope not. Because there are consequences to rejecting what God is doing in me. And so in the midst of their interplay of God's anger now, and just the wonders that they have around, those who have others want. God caused a plague to come and God used it to get rid of the owner. But it had already had its effect. Because we see this pattern developing in the people who are living. You see, God gets them from Mount Sinai to the promised land, the land God promised to give to Abraham and his descendants, who would become a great nation. A blessed nation, a nation to bless others, so that they can know the love of God. God has them send top spies into the land, and they come back with a bunch of things so hard that it takes a pull between two men to carry. They said the land was flowing with milk and honey, that it was a fertile land and a great land. Yeah! Let's do it! Oh, and by the way, there are a lot of people in the land. They are big, and they live in fortified cities. They will devour us, and we don't stand a chance. You couldn't guess in a million years what happened. 10 of the spies, those who were afraid, began to sow seeds of fear. And they led all of the rest of the Hebrew people in their anxiety, helping them become unhappy about what God was doing for them. And then, you could guess again what they said? If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? We should go back to Egypt.
fall down on his face. The two remaining spies tore their robes against what the people were saying and spoke to the people gathered.
And his glory is exceedingly good.
If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of
them. Do you remember the last time you rejected the Lord, what happened? Let's just say it didn't go well with them. God says to Moses, now this is my prison. I'm getting rid of these people who treat me with disrespect and disregard. I'm starting over with you, Moses. You trust me. I will make a great nation out of you. Now, Moses convinced God not to wipe out these difficult people because of this reason. Because it caused damage to God's name. Because it caused damage to God's name. Moses goes on to say this. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sins without mercy. In accordance with the great love, forgive the sin of these people just as you have pardoned them from the time we left Egypt until now. You see, Moses reminds God of who God is. Although now it's put in here that God does not leave the guilty unpunished. But Moses is interested in how God is seen by us who are watching on the sidelines. Moses is interested in God's name being lifted up high, not to be punished. I wonder what life would look like if our goal was to not allow God's name to be punished, but to always be lifted in good light to all around us. If they could just have trusted God to lead them and lead them to the promised land then. If they would have just obeyed God, trusting God. Of course, we look at this in hindsight and see that they would eventually make it to the promised land, but not that group of people. You see, they didn't trust God. They didn't obey God. And as a result, they did not see the promised land. They would wander in the desert for the next 40 years. Until that entire rebellious generation. Oh God, he remained with them during those 4 years. He was always with them. And God would forgive them time and time again. Slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. What are you not trusting God for in these days in your life? What are you not being obedient to God for in these days? Do you know that God wants you to do more than just seek himself? God intended your life to be a great adventure, but it can only be great as your roots. Trust God as you're willing to obey God and where God is leading. Really, what is the one thing you know God wants you to do in your life? Or where God wants to take you? What is that thing? Where is that place? What is stopping you? Maybe it's a desire to keep things the way they are because it's just comfortable. Or maybe it's a fear that you will falter when you fail or try. Are you afraid because you cannot see the outcome of what God is wanting to do in your life? that it might even change you to be different? Maybe you're not even aware of what God is trying to do because you're not paying attention to God. Really, you're just kind of wandering. And often wandering happens when there is no direction. When you're out of touch with God. Friends, to experience the real joy in life, you have to surrender to God. To be intentional with God. Be intentional to give time to God by getting God's word and studying it. We're starting out the story small groups again. There are four opportunities each week to invest an hour of your time to know God better. And be intentional to worship God every day, not just when you come on Sunday, but every day. Be intentional to give God the first fruits of all that you receive. And be intentional to serve God in ministry and mission. Friends, let us determine to be the people that will trust God, to be the people that will obey God, and then enjoy and follow God into a promise. We just ask that as we continue to walk this world, Lord, as we continue to step through each day, Lord, that we would live to you. And God, that you would indeed speak to us so that we might trust and obey you wherever it is that you are leading us, wherever it is that you desire us to go. Maybe to believe more deeply than we have ever believed before. To trust you. To trust your word. God, that you would draw us to yourself, Lord, that we would begin to know you then. Not just as a lesson, but compassion and grace. Slow to anger and power and love for us. Even to the rebellious. We might know that there are sometimes we do things that will create consequences in our lives as it comes to you and us. And Lord, we ask that you help us to see those consequences and turn from those ways that are leading us away from you, that we would trust you and obey you. God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace. Helping us to see where we have not.